And as promised, Vic Farrow has arrived, the managing director of Shanklin Theatre. Welcome, Vic.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
Well, it's always a pleasure. It's not your first time here. So.
No, it's second.
Yeah. But it's a good time to chat because I know you've been doing, apart from all the good things that are happening at the theatre in terms of events and shows, you've been doing a lot of work lately, haven't you, on improvements. Could you tell us a little bit about what those are?
Yeah, basically what happened was that we took the opportunity of being closed during January. It was a deliberate policy for this year. In the past we have had some shows on towards the end of the month, but this year we decided to close for the whole period so that we could get a lot of work done. And the work that was done, some of it would not be obvious to the public, but some would be. I mean, we've had the stage recovered. I mean, first time for I think it's 30 years we've had a new stage floor put in, and on top of that we've actually therefore change the front of the stage. Those of you familiar with the building would be aware that there used to be like a limb on the right hand side. Well, that's now gone, as unfortunately has the trap door, but the trap door had to go for the health and safety reasons that are bind us everywhere now.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day we might be able to get a trap door back, but that would have to be a hydraulic type one.
For those who don't know, you mean a trapdoor in the stage
itself? Yes, that's okay. Right. Sorry, I should.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's unfortunate. It only tended to be used once at the most a year, so it was best because it was very, very risky for people to use.
People jumping up from underneath the stage, crawling under that.
Absolutely,
narrow space.
Yeah.
I've seen it under there. Yeah, there's not much room.
No, there's not. And somebody had nearly had an accident, and so in the end we decided that it was, well, we had to really, because I think that what happens with buildings is quite interesting, that you actually, and a lot of you who may have been to West End shows must at times think to yourself, if I'm up in that balcony or the circle, how do I get out, because it's a bit tight here. Well, the reason being, and it's the same with our theatre, is that a lot of the regulations are determined by the time when they applied originally, and so you actually are able to actually still apply those to what goes on at the theatre.
Yeah.
Which makes life a bit difficult in one respect, but of course, you know, there's no way that you could update everything to the current situation. Yeah. Obviously, if you were to build a brand new theatre, everything would apply then.
Yeah.
But what happened then was that, as I say, we took the trapdoor out and we changed the limb, so it's now a flush stage, and it's all been painted and at the front. It looks very smart. It's also allowed us the opportunity to put wheelchairs and cases from the bands and all that underneath the stage, so it's a good storage place.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that you were also looking at access generally to the building.
Yeah, I mean,
for disabled people.
That's right. Well, yeah. Obviously we've tried to look at the access, and that's a really interesting one. Again, those of you who might be familiar with the box office being to the right of the building as you look at it, what we toyed with the idea was actually putting a ramp in so that people could come up it. But unfortunately, the way that the road goes, which as you'll appreciate is slopes right the way down to the high street, it was considered too dangerous. Again, health and safety, because it might sound amusing, but it's a serious matter that if somebody came out with their wheelchair and went down the slope and sort of suddenly, as they do, pushed the wheels,
yeah,
and the brake wasn't applying, then they could run all the way down to the bottom. So it was considered that was too risky.
Yeah.
What we've had to do, just to try to tidy things up, is actually we're in the process of putting signs up to indicate that it's limited access, but that's because it's being a listed building.
Yeah. But you do get people in wheelchairs coming to watch the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
they're allowed to be dropped off in the car park. The car park isn't big enough, as car parks never are, and I'm sure here at the Riverside you've got the same problem.
Yeah.
And car parks therefore are a big problem, and naturally, as far as we're concerned, we have to be able to get the artists in.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to get the staff in.
Yeah.
So we do though however allow anybody who has difficulty in walking or has a wheelchair to actually be dropped off at the side entrance, which is level with the auditorium, and they can go in there. And if they're in a wheelchair section, they're right beside the seats anyway.
So that works.
That works.
Even if the car park's full, you can drive in and drop off.
Drop off, and then the able-bodied person can go off and park.
But are requirements getting more stringent about that?
Oh yeah, yeah, very much. I mean, you know, this is the whole way of life, really, these days. Yeah, it's very difficult.
Okay. And just finally on that, before we talk about some of the good things coming up, are there any other improvements that you're planning during the year that people should know about?
Well, what I would like to also say is that one thing that's, you know, won't be sort of obvious to the general public is that we have actually decorated backstage. And when I say decorated backstage, that's in terms of the through the stage door and up to the dressing rooms. That whole area has been painted. We've been there for 6 years now, and that always worried me, that we used to get artists arrive and they would come in and say, what a lovely theatre, and then I would take them down to the dressing room and it would be the outside, you know, scruffy, you know, needed decorating. The inside is fine, it looks lovely with all the lights around the mirrors, but as I say, the problem was that the outside. So we've had it done, and one of the other reasons we've had it done, which you'll find very interesting, Kevin, is that, as people are probably aware, we have three big plays coming this year. At the end of this month, we have, and this will be the first plug, I suppose, really.
Yeah, go for it, Vic.
We have A Murder Is Announced, the famous Agatha Christie thriller, which starts on March the 29th and goes through till the Saturday, including two afternoon performances, so there's seven performances in all.
So, and is that a full week then?
Apart from the Monday, which is we're using for the get-in.
Yeah.
And that stars Judy Cornwell, who played Mrs. Bouquet's sister in that famous series on the TV, and also includes lady who's quite familiar to people who watch EastEnders. There's also the lady who plays Glenda in Summer Wine, and there's other famous faces on there that will be familiar to people. Okay. But what we've had that done backstage for the reason that I'm going to have, because obviously that's what they expect in these sort of plays, a stage doorman. So for that week, we will have a stage doorman. So obviously the whole area does need to look nice, and it does now. Yeah,
it certainly does.
Yeah, but we've got.
I can vouch for that. I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
So a few more plugs now for events coming up. We were talking to Graham Craig from What's on White earlier, about an hour ago, and he was running through some of the amazing things that are going on, like film and charity events and some smaller scale ones. But Shanklin, this year, it feels like you're really pushing the boat out with some amazing shows coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, what's happening is you have to build, and obviously 6 years ago we actually took over. It's pretty much 6 years, you know, to the week. Yeah. And what happened was that in the early days it was difficult to get people to take any notice of us, because although the theatre had been open, it was only really used for a summer season for Best of West End and the pantomime.
Yeah.
And they were very good, but of course it didn't hit the mainland, and it didn't hit the mainland producers or agents.
Yeah.
So that was the interesting point we had to overcome, which was that to say to people, look, we're here. We can service your shows. We've got a lovely theatre. We increased, as you know, the capacity. It went up to 615, which made us far more attractive as well to shows. And it seems to have worked. The situation is, as far as the theatre is concerned, is that what happens is that once you get known, it's interesting how people find out about you. I mean, as a result of the Agatha Christie that I mentioned just now, and the Mousetrap coming, which comes in November, we've had inquiries now from other production companies. We've had an inquiry from the Yvonne Arno company at Guildford. And you know, this is what happens. These people suddenly become aware of you being on the circuit, and so it's a great feeling to have now.
But
as I said earlier, the fact is, at 6 years, we're now in a position to actually branch out into trying to get these and to be able to offer the facilities and the guarantees in terms of financial things that these companies want.
Yeah.
And the great thing is that we can do this because we do tend to break even. We made a very small profit last year, but that's not, that's always been the idea, just to, yeah, to break even.
Yeah.
But the great thing is, Kevin, we don't owe a penny.
Yeah.
We don't have any loans or anything.
Yeah.
So everything's ours,
yeah,
and it works quite well from that point. So I'm able to keep a quite tight control on it all,
yeah,
and to take the odd gamble.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know that,
yeah,
hopefully the other gambles that I'm taking will pay for it.
Yeah. You're a gambler, are you, Vic?
Well, no, it's not that. I used to be an underwriter,
okay,
an insurance underwriter, so I'm used to assessing,
yeah,
risks.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you have to. So thinking about the year ahead, mm-hmm, what if you had to pick out, say, just half a dozen highlights, what do you think they would be?
Well, as I mentioned, the shows, I already mentioned two of them, but the other one, of course, which comes up in April, is Dial M for Murder, which is another very, yeah, famous play, having been a Hitchcock film,
yep,
with Grace Kelly and Ray Milland, and that should be very popular again. It's a famous thriller, and I think the interesting thing about the plays that we've chosen, and you're aware of this, Kevin, is that the sort of philosophy I have, if that's the right word, about plays, is that they need to jump off the page, and,
yeah,
people need to either know them or know the yeah, author or
yeah,
whatever, so,
yeah,
or the playwright.
Yeah.
So it's important that.
And when's Dial M for Murder on?
So that is on from Tuesday the 19th of April,
yeah,
through to Saturday the 23rd. Similar run to,
yeah,
Miss Marple's play,
yeah,
which is seven shows with two afternoon matinees,
okay,
on the Thursday and the Saturday.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so moving on from there, if you look into May, for example, the big names that we've got, Julian Clary is getting very close to a sellout.
Yeah.
And we've got Roy Hudd coming back with his,
oh, yeah,
but this time with his one-man musical,
yeah,
Music Hall. We've got another play which is coming up, which is Hay Fever,
oh, yeah,
the Noel Coward play.
Yeah.
It's just one night only, but it's on a good day, which is the 28th of May, part of the bank holiday.
Yeah.
An interesting one in that month, which is, as you know, we try to get a spread of different types of shows. On the 16th of May, you may be interested in this one, Kevin. It's a show called Rock and Roll Politics.
Right.
With Steve Richards, the independent journalist,
yeah,
who's coming over to do an evening. And
oh,
that should,
right,
be interesting with
so
all
like
this
a discussion thing.
Very
it?
Much so. It will be.
Oh,
a,
right.
There'll be. He will undoubtedly talk for the first, and then there'll be a discussion, questions and answers.
Oh, right.
And no doubt with all the in-out things going on at the moment,
yeah,
I'm sure it could be a popular evening.
Oh,
that one
could be interesting. So, yeah, it'll be like a political debate, but done in a sort of,
oh yeah, but
way,
done in a general
way.
I mean, he's
yeah,
already had a sellout doing the show,
yeah,
in Edinburgh,
yeah,
and in London,
yeah,
and so I thought, well, it might be interesting to bring him,
yeah,
here,
yeah.
And he, as I say, he sells out.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, it's,
yeah,
it's funny,
yeah,
it's everything. It's not a straightforward debate or anything,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that. But obviously, he will move with the times. And,
yeah,
since he's done Edinburgh, then,
yeah,
obviously the big in and out,
ooh,
thing has come about.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah,
I'll
so
have to get him on Vectis Radio, won't I?
Well, you could well do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I'm
that'd
sure.
Be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, in June, we do have. Towards the end of June, on a Monday evening, two of the Monday evenings, and then into July for the first two, One Man, Two Governors, which is Joe Plum's,
yep,
production, which you've had Joe in here, so,
yeah, yeah,
worth mentioning that.
Yeah,
so
and that's in July.
That's the last two Mondays in June,
yeah,
and the first two Mondays in July,
yep,
so it's continuous,
okay,
in that respect. Then moving on from there, We've got obviously the Best of West End show comes on, but then Russell Watson comes back to us on the 18th of July. So anybody interested in that? There's about 40 tickets left at,
really?
The most. Yeah,
is that a one night?
One night
appearance?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you get to August, and of course August, Kevin, we have the 39 Steps every,
ooh,
Tuesday.
That'll be good.
Yes. For those of you who are not aware, Kevin is involved with that one,
yeah,
and we'll be playing Richard Hannay,
yeah,
for those of you who are familiar with the play. But it is the comedy version,
yeah,
which has been in the West End for about 12 years, I think it was.
Yeah.
He's currently on tour,
yeah,
and it is very true, actually, to the story, despite the fact it's been played in a humorous way.
Yeah, so, I know, yeah. That would be a fantastic one to do.
Yes, it will be good fun.
You've seen it in London, haven't you?
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it several times, well.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Then we've got, you know, a good mixture in August, apart from the Best of West End, which stays there, whereby we've got the Corey Band coming back. They are the top brass band in the country. They're coming to us again.
Yeah.
We've also got Joe Pasquale returning, and Shawadi Wadi are coming. So
yeah.
That should be good fun.
Yeah.
So, and then we get into September, and of course we're getting rid of the year then, and starting to get rid of it. But of course the big one in September is Justin Haywood, the lead man of the Moody Blues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Famous for Forever Autumn, which is in War of the Worlds, which is currently on show in London.
Yeah.
So he is selling very well. So anybody interested in Justin...
Is he a solo performer now?
He does, same as John Lodge, the other main person in there. They both perform on their own, but with a band.
Okay.
Perform... Yeah. Time to time,
so we'll
with Moody
hear
Blues.
Some old and new music from him. Then.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then of course the big one in October is 10cc. 10cc selling really fast. Absolutely thrilled to have got them. I mean, to have actually got, you know, an iconic name like 10cc is. I mean, it's very great that we've got Justin Haywood, but Justin is sort of half of Moody Blues.
Yeah.
But this is 10cc, so
yeah,
this
amazing.
Is, and it should be a great show. The first half they're doing doing Sheep Music, which was one of their most popular albums. So they're going to play the whole of that. But the second half is all the hits.
Oh,
so
wow.
Any fan of 10cc is not one to miss.
Yeah.
Graham Gordon is the main
October.
Man. That's in on October the 6th.
Yeah.
Later that month, some old favourites come back. Joe Brown comes back.
Yeah.
This time he comes back as a solo performer again, although he has got one guest artist who will play a few numbers with him.
Okay.
And the Stylistics come back. Stylistics, extremely popular.
Yeah.
This will be their third time, each time they do well, and people love them. And
they love coming here. Though.
They love coming here, and if anybody wants to realise the difference between professionals and amateurs, that's the show to see.
Really?
You know, that is really... It's but the classy thing, and again... You actually realise just how many hit songs they had.
Yeah.
You just forget.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, oh, I forgot they did this one. I forgot they did this one.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of a great, great sort of thing.
Yeah.
We then get into, we're already getting into November then, and we've got the Mousetrap. But one sing-along night should be Tony Christie. That should be quite an interesting one again.
Yeah.
And
the Mousetrap is on just for a week?
Mousetrap is on, but that starts on the Monday.
Yeah.
That's on the 14th of November through to the 19th. Again with two afternoon matinees. This time they're on the Wednesday and the Saturday.
Okay.
So that's that.
And this is the play that nobody dares reveal the ending of.
Correct.
It? Yes.
Correct. You must not
even
tell
though
anyone.
Millions of people have seen it.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how it ends.
What amazed me is how there are so many people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're obviously getting people.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't?
No.
Really?
I've never seen it. I'm going to come and watch it.
Yeah.
I've got my ticket already for that.
Yeah.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the strange thing is, obviously, you get a lot of people coming again because, I mean, I saw it again in London in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen it originally on about, when it was about 8 years old, you know. So, and I think it's 63 years now, so.
And I've still never seen it.
And you still never. But you're not alone in that. It's quite amazing how many people are saying, you know, that. But the great thing is, you know, if I'd have thought 6 years ago when we started that the most arguably iconic play that there's ever been, certainly the longest running play there's ever been, should be coming with a professional touring production.
Yeah,
that
know.
Means the full set, everything, coming on a 45-foot trailer would be coming to the Isle of Wight.
Oh, no.
I think is something, you know, we're immensely proud of.
Oh, no.
I mean, going back to 45-foot trailers, of course, we've got a similar situation with the Agatha Christie one as well.
I bet you have.
Yeah, I mean, the set for it is just unbelievable. If anybody wants to look online at
yeah.
you know, the Middle Ground Theatre who produce it. I mean, they're a top theatre company.
And what do you put it down to? I suppose is a lot of it the word of mouth that you get going. So you have a successful show, you refurbish the theatre, you show that you run professionally, and you can attract big audiences, and then the word gets round, this is a good place to come. Or do you... Is it that plus you having to do the hard sell in the early days? I presume you must have had to do a hard sell to start with.
Very much so, yeah. I think that's a really good question, because the fact remains that when you're actually dealing with the situation, you're dealing often with a different set of circumstances. Perhaps an agent such as the... I mean, I tried to get the Mousetrap 2 years ago, and my emails were ignored.
Yeah.
Ignored. But this year they came to me, was interesting. So they'd obviously kept the email, and so I suppose they keep a note of what's happening. The strange thing is, Kevin, and you'll appreciate this, whatever industry you're in, it's a small world.
Yeah,
and it's absolutely amazing how things get round.
Yeah,
you know that you're doing something.
Yeah,
and I think we have a reputation for paying quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We always settle up, as I say, very, very quickly. We try to settle a show. That gives us a good reputation.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to the former owners of the theatre, but the council. But councils generally take a long while to pay.
Yeah.
So consequently, that was another reason I had to overcome, or another factor I had to overcome. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for it. We're going to have to stop now.
That's fine.
We've got a bit of music to play.
Okay.
Which you might want to listen to, because I know you love it. But, yeah, it's fantastic to see you again. And send Vectis Radio's love to everyone at Shankly Theatre.
Oh, shall.
Because we all love the place.
And, good.
You're doing a fantastic job.
Good. Thank you very much. And
lovely to talk to you again.
And thank Vectis Radio, Ian, yourself, and everyone else for all their support.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to cry now. It's like the Oscars, this. Cheers, Vic.
Take care.